May Jesus Christ be praised. Please be seated. Scripture reading this evening is going to come from Psalm 1. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn there to Psalm 1. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's found on page 448. So we're taking a look at Psalm 1 this evening. Hear now God's holy and inerrant word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Lord God, we do come before you this evening. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. We ask, Lord, now that as we consider it, you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, I ask that you'd be with me, your humble servant. Help me truly to communicate in a way that's clear, in a way that brings forth your word to your people, so that they might be built up and edified, and your name might be glorified. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Did you ever take a child to the store to pick out a treat? You know, they do something good, so you say, I'm going to reward them by taking them down to the Wawa, and they can pick out a candy bar. Sounds like a good idea, right until you walk up to the candy aisle, and you discover there's a plethora of choices before them. They stand there in awe, looking at all the choices. They don't know what to choose. And it's almost like you can hear their minds. They're saying, I better make the right choice. Once I pick, there's no turning back. I can't return it. There's no second choice, no refunds. It's almost like their life depends on them picking the right candy bar. See, at age 4, a candy bar is a very important decision. As we grow, we encounter many decisions, and they get to be more important and more difficult. See, we have all around us people trying to get us to choose them and their way. We have politicians, advertisers, TV executives all clamoring for our attention. Vote for me! Buy me! Watch me! They scream. So how do we know what to choose with so many options before us? And in our psalm this evening, we see yet another choice. See, Psalm 1 lets us know that you can choose the path of righteousness or the way of the wicked. But unlike choosing a candy bar, Psalm 1 makes clear that this is a truly important decision. See, Psalm 1 tells you that the path you choose has great consequences, so choose wisely. Three things for us to see this evening: the righteous path, the way of the wicked, and the great divide. See, the righteous path, Psalm 1 begins with the man who's blessed. And it highlights what the righteous does and doesn't do. And what the righteous doesn't do is walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. See, the righteous person doesn't walk, stand, or sit in the company of the wicked. But what does this mean, not to walk, stand, or sit? Why use this tripartite way of explaining this? What's the psalmist getting at? Well, what he's doing is he's showing that there's a progression to our sin, a progression that leads to the way of the wicked. There's a gradual but definite worsening as one departs from God and slowly but surely conforms to the world. And it begins with walking in the counsel of the wicked, which is basically akin to following worldly advice. See, it's when you ignore what Scripture teaches and you replace it with what the world says to do. Somebody wrongs you. And what does Scripture say to do? To turn the other cheek, to forgive them. But what does the world tell you? You better get even. Don't let people walk all over you. Get revenge. Show them who's boss. See, when you follow that advice, whenever you choose the wisdom of the world over the teachings of the Word, it's then that you're following worldly counsel. And it's then that you're standing in the counsel of the wicked. Next is standing in the way of sinners. Here we move from following the ways of the world to actually standing firmly in some ungodly or unbiblical position. It's when you hear someone say, I don't care what the Bible says, or you know what, I believe God's okay with what I do. I don't care what you think the Word says. It's often seen with our young people when they get involved with a non-Christian, with a non-believer. And what do they say? Well, I don't care what the Word says. I love him. He's my soulmate. But what does the Word tell us? The Word tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You can't trust the heart. See, but you stand in the way of sinners whenever you're firmly committed to some position that's contrary to God's Word. And third, the blessed person doesn't sit in a seat of scoffers. See, this is where we move beyond thoughts and positions to actions, to actually sitting and planning the schemes of the wicked with them. It's when you move from following worldly advice and firmly holding to unbiblical positions to actually consorting with the ungodly. It's being found among those who want nothing to do with God's way and who have no evidence of God in their lives. These are the people who Derek Kidner, he describes as this, the most scandalous of sinners and the farthest from repentance. See, these are the people who they know they're right. They know what they believe. And they don't need anybody telling them what to believe or what to do or how to live. Dare I say, they're probably some of your closest Facebook friends. See, the man or woman who's blessed doesn't engage in this progression of sin. Yet, if you're like me, you find that you often follow worldly counsel, often stand on worldly positions, and even engage in planning wickedness. The last time somebody harmed you, the last time somebody sinned against you or wronged you, I mean made you screaming mad, how did you respond? Didn't you plan some wickedness in your head? Didn't you start visioning all those horrible things you could do to them? See, that's what happens. That's the progression. So how are we to walk on the path of righteousness when so often you choose the way of the wicked? Well, the way we can do so, the way you do so, is because of your union with the blessed man of Psalm 1. See, the blessed man of Psalm 1 who spends his days and his time not in the world, but in the Word, it's none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He meditated upon God's Word day and night. He was the living Word. He used the Word. He lived it out. Think about when he was in the desert being tempted by Satan. He didn't hit him with some worldly, witty comeback, did he? No, he went to God's Word. He used God's Word and defeated Satan with God's Word. He was filled with it, inundated with it. Jesus lived in perfect obedience and walked on the righteous path because he was filled with God's Word. His mind was not self-focused. It was God-focused. See, this is key. See, what you fill your mind with will greatly impact not just what you think, but what you do. If you're inundating yourself with God's Word, it'll be that much more difficult, that much harder for you to be led astray by some worldly advice. See, knowing the truth makes falsehood so much easier to recognize. Being grounded in God's words means that you will be like a tree transplanted by canals of water. That's what it does. It means you will daily receive the nutrients that you need. If you want to grow spiritually, then you must feed daily on God's Word. Just as you can't survive without your daily food, I'm guessing everyone here eats at least once a day, right? Probably more than once a day. You need that, right? Well, in the same way, you need God's Word if you're going to grow spiritually, if you're going to survive spiritually. You won't be spiritually healthy if you don't feed on God's Word. And you can do so because Christ already did so. And He is the living Word that fills you. It's your union with Christ that enables you to keep going back to His Word time and time again, feeding and drinking from those living waters. See, through your union with Christ, you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk the path of righteousness, to choose wisely. It's through the Spirit's work in you that you can do this. That's how you walk the path of righteousness. See, Christ fulfilled this psalm perfectly. And through Him and your union to Him, you too can choose wisely. Now, I want you to note something here. Verse 3, you'll see, He's like a tree planted by streams of water. But this is better translated like a tree transplanted by canals of water or by a water canal. See, it's the idea that when you come to saving faith, God picks you up and transplants you elsewhere. He moves you from that dry desert and transplants you near canals of water. You can't stay in the dry desert wasteland and grow. You need to be transplanted by canals of water. That's what God does. He gives you all the nourishment you need, and He does it through His means of grace. Word, sacraments, and prayer. You know how these are all a regular part of the worship service? This is not by accident. It's by design. It's the way God feeds His people. He gives you His Word, His sacraments, and prayer so that you can be fed, nourished, and can grow. It's part of God's transplanting you by canals of water. And this enables you to yield your fruit in season. So you can't stay in the desert from where you were called. If you do, you'll die. You need that constant nourishment. You have to leave your familiar surroundings. You have to walk away from that wasteland. And you must be found near the water supply. This means you need to stay united to Christ and found regularly in His Word. Daily feeding off of Christ. See, a tree transplanted by canals of water, this paints a picture for us. It's a picture of you not just being a living organism that's kept alive, but also being a living organism that produces life. See, think about how a tree, what it does. A tree makes food that people eat for nourishment so they can stay alive. And in the same way, you produce spiritual fruit that gives life to others as you give it to them. Pastor Matosian recently asked if you were dead wood or a life-filled branch. Well, if you're walking the path of righteousness, it's because you've been transplanted to where the water flows freely. This means you can't help but produce fruit. You cannot be dead wood. You will be a life-giving branch, a life-filled branch. You'll be walking the path of righteousness because that's where you've been transplanted to. That's where you're being nourished. You're near Christ, the water canal. He's the one who nourishes you and enables you to produce your fruit in season. So ask yourself, is your life evidently producing fruit for Christ? Can others see it? Are people coming to saving faith because the fruit that you're giving them? If not, maybe it's because you're making some of the wrong choices. But be encouraged. Be encouraged because as one united to Christ, you have all you need to produce the best fruit there is. See, the wicked, they're not like the righteous. They don't produce life-giving fruit. They dry up and wither. They blow away. Which brings us to our second point, the way of the wicked. See, verse 4 says, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Now, chaff, that's not a common term, right? Particularly in our non-agrarian society. When's the last time you used the word chaff in a conversation? You know what it is? The chaff is that outside casing, the scaly protective covering over a seed of grain. It's not even edible for humans. If you want to get to what's edible, you got to remove the chaff. And typically it's ground into the dirt and it's used basically to be plowed into the soil or burned. It serves no purpose. It doesn't give life. It's like those wishies. Remember those wishies when you were little? You pop them out of the ground, you blow, and they blow all over. And in a second, they'd be scattered and gone. That's like chaff. It's easily dispersed, effortlessly scattered. It has no foundation. It's not firmly rooted. And this is a description of the wicked. See, they're not well grounded. They're easily blown away. They have no foundation at all because they stand on human wisdom, fleshly desires, and hardened hearts. They trust in man's wisdom and not in God's word. Jeremiah describes them like this. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. You get the picture? The wicked have no sustenance and no substance. They don't produce life, they don't give life, and they have no hope of eternal life. The wicked look just to the present, and the result is their ultimate demise. See, the way things work out for them, it's not so good, is it? See, their way's not remembered. They will fall in the final judgment. They'll be barred from the assembly of the righteous. What the psalmist has in mind here, what he's getting at, is eternal judgment. Put differently, the way you live today will determine where you live tomorrow. The way you live today will determine where you live tomorrow. You can't choose to walk the way of the wicked and expect to stand in the judgment with the assembly of the righteous. You can't spend your life in the midst of sinners and away from God's word and expect that at the end you'll be included among the assembly of the righteous. Put more plainly, you can't spend your life apart from Christ, ignoring God's word and shunning his people, and expect that when you die, you'll be welcomed with open arms into heaven. Did you ever get invited to a stranger's wedding? Probably not, right? You don't get invited to strangers' weddings. They don't know you. They don't invite you. It's the same way with the wicked. They don't get invited to the final banquet because Christ doesn't know them. The path you choose has great consequences, so choose wisely. See, the choice before you is the path of righteousness or the way of the wicked. And what you choose is critical, as there will be a parting of the ways. This brings us to our third point, the great divide. See, verse 6, it provides us with the conclusion of the matter. Verse 6 says this, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." See, it's highlighting this great divide, showing that there are two paths, not a third one. You either walk the path of righteousness or the way of the wicked. You can't walk on both paths. They go in different directions. So you can't combine God's word with some worldly wisdom and create some third category. It doesn't work that way. There's one of two paths. You can't decide for yourself what is right in God's mind. God tells you what's right. He does it in his word. If you want to know what God expects, you need to read his word. That's where he lays it out. see the two paths, the path of righteousness and the way of the wicked, they lead in opposite directions. They don't go to the same place. Just like you can't drive north and south at the same time, you can't walk the path of righteousness if you're on the way of the wicked. It's impossible. See, these two paths never connect. They never intersect. They never get you to the same place. Think of it like this. You want to go to Canada. You have to go north. You jump on 95 south, you're never going to wind up in Canada. It's going the wrong way. It's the opposite direction. You got to get on the right road and go the right way. If you want to wind up in the assembly of the righteous, then you need to be walking the path of righteousness, not the way of the wicked. And if you're on the righteous path, then you're heading in the right direction. See, and the righteous path is secure because God knows the way of the righteous. I want you to notice that the use of the word know here, it connotes more than just having information. It's not like God just has some information about you. But it's similar to what we read in Genesis 4:1, where we read how Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bore Cain. See, this is clearly more than just knowledge or information or an awareness. It's an intimate, personal relationship. That's the type of knowledge God has with his people. The same intimate, personal relationship and knowledge and understanding. John 10:14 says it like this. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. See, the righteous have the same relationship with God that Christ has with his Father, because we're united to Christ. We are co-heirs with him. We are his friend, his brother, his sister. And God is our Father. He knows us intimately. And God knows the way of the righteous because he's the one who planned it from all eternity. In order for you to delight in God's law, in order for you to meditate on his word day and night, in order for you to produce godly fruit, you must be united to Christ. You must be in the living word daily, reading the scriptures, praying over the scriptures. But don't miss the point here. God does it through Christ and through his Spirit, but you still must choose which path to walk. See, Psalm 1 is not giving you the roadmap to salvation. What it is doing is providing some directions to enable you to complete your sanctification by choosing the right path and staying on this right path. Think of it like this. You love your child. You care for your child. You provide for your child. You look after and comfort your child. You give your child all the tools, direction and instruction they need to continue on the right path, hoping and praying that when they grow up, they walk that path you laid out before them. But that's not always the case, is it? Sometimes they go in a different direction. It's as though they were never your child, never lived in your home. They're like strangers. See, in the same way, a covenantal child of God has a responsibility to walk on the path of righteousness. God has equipped you and given you all you need to stay on his path. He sets you on the path. But you must take those means of grace and use them. His word, prayer, sacraments. As God's child, as Christ's friend, you've been empowered to choose to walk and to stay on the path of righteousness. It's not the case for the wicked. See, the way of the wicked isn't known by God. It's not remembered. See, God remembers his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and because of that, calls his people to himself. That's not the case with the wicked, though. There's no divine relationship between God and those who know him not. See, the way of the wicked will perish. There's no divine involvement. There's no participation with God. So life's end for the wicked is death. Death twice. Death in this life and eternal death, because there's no remembrance of the sinner. There's no future and no hope. See, the wicked will perish. Just like those wishes that you just blew away, it'll be the same way with the wicked. They'll be remembered no more. See, they may seem to have it all in this life, but in the end, they'll stand before Christ and hear Him say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." The psalmist in Psalm 1 here makes clear the path you choose has great consequences, so choose wisely. So how do you do so? How do you manage to navigate this sin-filled world that constantly calls out to you, that constantly shouts your name and screams to you, "Follow me, over here, this way"? How do you keep from going off course? How do you stay on the path that God has set you? Well, let me suggest to you what not to do and what to do. Don't let sinful thoughts dwell in your mind. Don't let them stay there. You ever have a sinful thought? I'm sure you do. I know I do. What do you do with those thoughts? Do you just kind of push them aside and say, "It's no big deal, I'd never act on them"? See, that's where we get into danger. It's when we try to convince ourselves, "It's okay. I would never actually do that, which I'm thinking." That's how we get off course in our thoughts. James tells us this: "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." See, sin starts in your mind, and it comes out in your actions. Think about how easy sin becomes the more you think about it. Don't try this. What I say on TV, don't try this at home. Don't do this. But think about this for purpose of illustration. You think about sin, and the more you think about it, the more commonplace it becomes for you. "I could take that soda. Nobody would know. The clerk's not even looking." Day after day you think about that. You think about it so much as though you're doing it. So the actual action becomes like nothing because you repeat it in your mind so many times. Don't do that. Don't let sin take residence up in your mind. See, you're righteous because Christ's righteousness has been imputed to you. You're united to Christ, so you've been empowered by His Spirit to stay on the path of righteousness, to walk where Christ walks. You're filled with His Spirit, and you have His protection. So the moment, the instant a sinful thought pops in your mind, turn to Christ. Run to Jesus. Call upon the Spirit. Pray. Keep me on the right path. Put this thought out of my mind. Repent of it. Don't make the mistake. Don't delay. Don't think you can hang around Skid Row. Don't think you can flirt with the ways of the world and not fall into sin. See, the world makes all kinds of promises to us. You can't go wrong with Governor so-and-so. Or, hey, you want to lose weight? Try this product. The only assurance you have is through Christ, through God's Word, through God's way. That's the only sure and secure path. You want to go the right way? Then choose the path that Christ has already walked for you. Follow Him, not the way of the wicked. See, choosing the path of righteousness, it means doing just what the psalmist tells us elsewhere. Store God's Word up in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Meditate on His Word day and night. Steer clear of the wicked. Don't even flirt with sinful deeds or sinful ways. Recognize that the way of the righteous path, it leads to glory, while the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And as you'll see next week, don't make the mistake of gazing upon a sinner's success, but rather come into the sanctuary of God and stare in awe at Him and who He is and what He's done. stay united to Christ, stay close to God, and filled with His Word. If you do this, sin will have a much tougher time swaying you, a much tougher time convincing you to follow the way of the wicked. You'll have an easier time seeing clearly the path of righteousness if you're daily in God's Word and remembering that you're united to Christ and filled with His Spirit. And remember, what you choose today will determine where you live tomorrow. The path you choose has great consequences, so choose wisely. Let's pray. Lord God, we do come before You. We thank You and praise You, Lord, that You set before us these two paths, the righteous path and the way of the wicked. And we thank You and praise You, Lord, that because of Your eternal decree, because of Your plan, because of the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Your electing us to Yourself, that You've taken us and transplanted us by these canals of water, setting us on the path of righteousness, equipping us and enabling us to continue to walk it through Your Spirit. We pray, Lord, You be with each one here. Help us, Lord, to truly continue on the path which You've set us. And Lord, if there's any here that know You not, help them to truly think about these words, to think about Your Word, to think about what Christ has done, and to choose Him. Call Him to Yourself, Lord. We ask this in Jesus Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen.